check this shit out.
Hello, listeners. If you like this show, please go to iTunes and subscribe. Rate and review our show. Thanks.
We've got two awesome sponsors, including Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions, in case your tractor hits a cow. It's a TagCast podcast.
Wait.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Can I be getting made for this, boys?
The TagCast podcast starts right now.
Today's episode is brought to you by Pantsless Comedy. Comedy to take your pants off to.
Hello and welcome to episode 503. 451-5584.
Once was a magic band.
That's my old telephone number. 503 in area code. Once the only area code of Oregon. Those were the days.
Hello and welcome to the TagCast podcast.
I am Gatch.
And I'm Terry. It's Friday!
And welcome
to the pantsless episode
of the TagCast podcast. What are we doing? We took our clothes off. Now we're going to do a comedy show tonight with my pants off. This song's called Pantsless Man.
It's weird. It's wacky. We're trying to be as weird as possible for season 5. So we're taking our pants off when we podcast. Okay.
No!
Welcome to Friday.
Oh, there's comes the lyrics. It's all a cappella.
Yeah.
Jeff Price presents the Theatric Fantastic. That's a bonus hidden track called The Pantsless Man.
That's cool.
Signifying
that's
the
zap-ish.
It was. It was signifying the Pantsless Comedy Show tonight at Cornucopia Bar and Burgers and Comedy, 5th and Pearl in Eugene, with your host, Mike McGowan, one of Chris Castle's last Eugene shows before he moves to Austonia.
Yeah?
Yep. So come out tonight and watch Chris Castle's...
He's keeping his castle here, though, right?
Yeah, and his deck.
Okay.
Yeah. He was going to destroy the deck before he left, but he decided to just keep it. Wait, let me open the curtains.
So Austin, wow.
A pretty good comedy scene down there in Austin.
That's true.
It's a bit akin to Portland as far as hipsters, and I've heard that Austin is the Portland of Texas.
Hmm. Yeah, except for...
all the shit kickers.
Well, it just that in Portland, I think you have like the Seattle and Eugene are in close proximity, which
like
are
Dallas
very.
I don't New
know
Orleans.
How I don't know how liberal any other city that close to Austin would be in Texas.
Probably not many. New Orleans, yeah. Maybe.
New Orleans,
which isn't that close, but it's close as
yeah.
Probably as close as Seattle is, maybe.
Or maybe depends as close on, as maybe as close as like San Antonio.
Austin's pretty central Texas, isn't it?
Yeah,
like kind of right in the middle.
I think so. Yeah, but it's pretty. There's a lot of wide open land between that and. I think it was in San Antonio. One of them's up on the very top, and one's on the very bottom, too, right? Like the big ones.
Dallas. Yeah.
And then you got way over on the east side. I mean, it just goes wherever over there. I would imagine there's a big city over there. I don't know anything about
it. I don't know a lot about Texas.
Stars are bright and big at night.
What?
But only if I'm in the deep part of Texas, which I'm not even sure what part of that is.
It's the deep, deep Texas. Must be right in the middle.
Or maybe it's the deep regions, little point. Right? There's the Texas South. I'm from Texas South.
Don't they talk more like this by South Texas?
I don't know. Like, I'm from the Texas
like
South.
Like down there by the border, man?
No, yep. Texas South.
I know Brownsville is very south. Mm-hmm. Brownsville, Texas is towards the tip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. Well, a lot of, you know, you'll see a lot of those cities on the border like that, like processing plants.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure when I send, when you, the old Ring of Death kind of thing, you would send your Xbox to a town right on the border.
Ooh. Plano?
Something like that, yeah. And then I'm pretty sure they probably ship them 10 miles south of the border where they pay somebody to fix them there. And then just, you know, it's a distribution plant in Plano or wherever.
Huh.
You know, I mean, people's people. Everybody's got to work.
People, people's people's.
Yeah.
So it's Friday. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. This weather is holding out as not to be expected usually, but MSG, what's going on this weekend?
MSG.
MSG,
HIG. Did you hear that story about soy sauce, man?
No. Kikkoman?
It was just about Kikkoman.
What the
dude,
fuck?
Dude, a guy fucking drank a half a gallon, I think it is, or a quarter gallon, quart, something, of soy sauce.
For like a dare or something?
Yeah.
Did he
went into a three-day coma.
Whoa, what's in that shit?
Salt.
Oh, he had a sodium
overdose?
It's
like a half a pound of salt was basically what he drank. A half a pound of salt.
Man.
And so it just pretty much just shut his whole nervous system down. Luckily, no long-term damage, but...
That's giving me a weird look on my face and a taste in my mouth that's not really present, but it's a mental thing.
The soy sauce?
And the half a pound of salt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Soy sauce is okay, I guess, in moderation, but...
Very small amounts.
Oh, yeah.
You learn early on when you have control of the soy sauce bottle not to over-apply.
Yeah.
At least I did, you know, when you got that white rice and then...
And hope that someone didn't take the stopper cap off because that's a rude trick. You're going to just plop some on there and you're just like, oh, full bottle. Awesome. Could I get like 5 more servings of rice, please?
At least 6 more pounds. Yeah. Man, rice.
Have you read any good books lately? I got a new...
Zap sack.
Oh, yeah. And coming out, I'm actually interested in it now because I recently rewatched The Shining after I watched that stupid little Stanley Kubrick. Did I tell you about that? We talked about that last week, Stanley Kubrick documentary about how there's so many signs in The Shining about that Stanley Kubrick is the one that actually recorded the moon landing.
I've heard something about that.
Dude, I guess it was this week. We haven't talked about it. Okay, good. So there's a 1-hour documentary on YouTube all about the signs to look for. Now, they wonder why so many things were changed. And Stanley Kubrick wrote the screenplay based off of Stephen King's novel. Stephen King did not write the screenplay. Now, a lot of things were changed in there. It didn't focus so much on his alcoholism like the remake did that have the dude from Wings on it that was like a 6-hour miniseries. And so these questions arise, why? Well, you know from the get-go this thing's a fucking propaganda thing because they're saying shit like
that. Stephen Weber.
Yeah, Stephen Weber. They're saying, okay, the beginning of the song, that eerie music you sound is blah, blah, blah. I can't remember what they said. Okay, and then they're showing him driving through the mountains. And they're like, the water with the valley and the mountains and the reflection, that makes an A. That stands for Apollo. Then the next one was, okay, see the reflection of the, it's an illusion, which is exactly what the moon landing was, an illusion. Okay, now in this first scene, Jack represents Stanley Kubrick, and NASA is represented by the boss who's interviewing him for the job in that office when he comes in.
That seems far-stretched, doesn't
it? I know,
it?
The whole thing. And he goes, okay, now there's an H. If you look at the window, it creates a 2. That's for Apollo 2, because that was the mission.
No, wait. I think they're misconstruing it, because it is an H, which stands for Tom Hanks.
Which is full of shit.
No, who they're predicting will be in the movie about
Apollo.
The Apollo.
Exactly. And then they said there is a strategically placed eagle statues in the office that represents the eagles that are on the Apollo, blah, blah, blah. The curtains... And the windowsill represent a stage because it was all staged.
A windowsill represents a stage.
Yeah. Dude, it's funny. And then they talk about, okay, the room 237 where the crazy lady is. Well, in the original book, it was 217. Mm-hmm. You know why they changed it to 237? Because the moon is 237,000 miles from Earth.
Exactly. To the centimeter.
Yeah. And why didn't they call it room 237,000? And there is a scene where Danny is wearing a shirt that says Apollo and has a rocket on it. And at the same time, he's playing trucks on those little, that rug that has those weird circular designs. They say, focus on the circular design. Now look at this launching pad from NASA.
Now he's driving on the moon.
Look at this launching pad from NASA. And then they were showing the same year and same time he made a Space Odyssey 2001. So they're showing moon landing shots, Space Odyssey. Can't tell the difference because he had the technology back then. So it's his way of coming clean without coming clean for feeling so bad, for fooling the media into thinking that we actually landed on the moon. This goes on for an hour.
So he's part of this documentary?
No.
Oh, okay.
The blood pouring from the elevators, that signifies something.
Space.
The blood from the NASA, I don't even, I've lost interest at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, if for a giggle, it's about as funny as watching Paul McCartney on The Last Testament of George Harrison for the fake pole. So I rewatched The Shining without the fucking documentary shit and said, yeah, full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Then I found out September 24th,
uh-oh,
the new Shining book comes out. I could pre-order it to my Kindle for $12, but I'm just going to wait till it comes out. So then I ordered, it's not a movie, it's a book.
I know, but you're going to wait until it comes out on movie?
No. I don't.
You think Jack will be in it?
I doubt it. He'd be too old. He'd be the same. It'd be just about right, because Danny's 27 in the book now.
That's not true. Well, because he was
always there.
Yeah.
You were always the caretaker, Mr. Torrance.
Yeah. What if he played, his face's role now?
Who's Scatman?
Yeah. Well, he's the new Scatman.
You want some ice cream, boy?
That'd be weird coming from him, though.
Hey, Doc, you want some ice cream?
You want some ice cream, boy?
You called him Doc, and you know his name isn't Doc. But, yeah, so I'm kind of excited about that. And then I got a new short book by Stephen King, and it's about a Kindle. And it's exclusively okay. Yeah.
And what?
I have
the
only
Kindle comes alive.
Don't know yet.
While
haven't
you're
got
reading.
That far.
Let me predict, though.
A professor gets a Kindle, even though he loves books, and he's trying to impress a student that he has a crush on.
It should be you. It should be like you're the main story guy. You get a Kindle, and then all of a sudden the Kindle comes alive.
Dude, it's
while
called
you're
you something.
Stephen King book.
It's called You Are. The letters You Are. How did you know that?
Oh,
you're
crazy.
Freaking me out right now.
It's crazy.
And the table of contents is strange.
Mm-hmm.
Experimenting with new technologies, UR functions, Wesley refuses to go mad, UR local under construction, the paradox police. So I don't know what happened.
You got to examine that table of contents, dude. There's some sort of code in there, man. You got to figure it out, and I bet it relates to those two things you were talking about earlier that were related.
That's right. It's the King Code.
Yep.
The King Code.
Somehow it spells out that we did not actually
land on the moon.
Yeah, we did not land on the moon, and Full Metal Jacket was never filmed. It's just an illusion.
Exactly, because there was no Vietnam.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who even knows? There's no other country except for America. Everything else is a fallacy.
I saw Stephen King the other day on an interview.
Wow.
On Stephen Colbert.
What? Two Stephens?
Mm-hmm. Both. They're not only were there two Stephens, get this lineup.
Two Stephens.
No, Stephen Colbert interviewing
Stephen King.
Stephen King. John Cougar Mellencamp. And T-Bone Burnett.
Wowie, wow, wow.
Who are collaborating.
Wowie, wow. I can't believe that those folks were all on the same show.
On a stage.
Wow.
They're doing
wow.
a stage production.
Wowie, wow.
Yeah.
That was my best Christopher Walken. Yeah.
They are, they're collaborating on a stage production.
Wow.
There's not going to be much dancing.
All I can say is wow. And I've noticed that Stephen King's been releasing some shorter books on Kindle, collaborating with a new writer that I do not remember his name or recognize, which is kind of weird.
Kevin Singh.
Yes. How'd you know that?
It seemed like Stephen King.
Well, that's actually the guy's name. Just kidding. That would trip you out, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Kevin Singh.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Sking.
You would have had me in about three more seconds.
I should have just waited. That's actually his name. I'm not even going to look it up, but look it up, your butt.
Well, that's cool. Is it a younger dude, you said? Or did you not say? Or is
that
it
he's writing
with, asking?
It's just you asking, and I don't know the answer because I didn't look into it. I thought about getting one of the books, but I'm kind of leery.
Is it like a Stephen King Presents type of thing?
No, it's a regular book, shorter book, not a novel, mm-hmm. and it just says written by Stephen King and some other dude.
Hmm.
Kind of like when he did that couple books with Peter Straub,
yeah.
The Black House. And so I don't know how two people go about writing a book. Do they take turns writing chapters?
It could be.
That could be cool.
Or what if you just had a good premise, but you didn't know how to flesh it out, so you just wrote a first chapter
and then gave it to
somebody, and they just did it from there. Right? So you're setting the characters and stuff, and then you're like, here, now write a story with that.
You could give it
to 30 different writers, come up with 30 different books.
I think a cool premise would be to write chapter to chapter, and then write a chapter, and then give it to your buddy, and then he writes a chapter and gives it back to you.
Yeah.
And then let's do that.
All right. I'm down.
Let's write a novel.
All right.
I think it's a novel idea.
Yeah.
I
don't know what it's about.
Well, the person who writes the first novel gets to set up something.
Ah.
Obviously. So we'll have to paper, rock, scissors for that, and then... Maybe
I do have a book, a fan fiction novel I'm writing about me and B. Arthur.
Okay. I can help you flesh that out.
Do
you remember the little Jack in the Box things? Not the restaurant, but you know. Is that Pop Goes the Weasel, right?
Yeah.
But there was always like a clown in there or something.
Or yeah, or a jester-like clown-like.
With a frumpy little, like... With polka dots. Almost scary looking. And you could do it fast or slow. Or you could go ka-plink. I wonder, now who decided Pop Goes the Weasel? And...
I think it was just a popular child's theme
Why isn't it a weasel pop now?
I don't know.
It should have been a weasel.
Well, maybe that's what it was at the beginning. You didn't have the toy, so what you did is you went down to the river, you caught a weasel. You put him in a box,
and you just
stuck around the thing, and then all of a sudden, bang, he'd finally just... You didn't know when he... It was always a surprise whenever he'd finally get out of the box and, like, spring at you.
Isn't there something... Oh, there goes the fucking ice cream truck. And they're probably playing Pop Goes the Weasel.
Yeah.
Today is National Pop Goes the Weasel Day.
Nice.
But
and the weasel go pop. Remember that song?
Yes. Yes. And so what I want to know is, like, you know that song, Pop Goes the Weasel? Doesn't it say something about the mulberry bush and some other stuff in that song?
Oh, there's about a mulberry bush.
Pop. Goes the weasel.
Then you're around and around the mulberry bush. Are you chasing it around the mulberry bush?
I think that they changed it and made it to where you couldn't understand. It was probably written by someone in a prison. Goes the weasel. Because if you tell on someone in prison, that's right. And in the hood, we call them britches.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a throwback there. Ladies in the hood, we call them britches.
Yeah. So if you might be interested in looking up whatever those guys are collaborating on, John Mellencamp and Stephen King, isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Because you could see, like, you could even see Mellencamp and Burnett. I don't know that much about Burnett. You know that much about him?
T-Bone Burnett?
He's like a producer, right?
Yeah, he has a few songs, but I can't remember.
He always wears those sunglasses, right?
Yeah. Did he have that song called, no, that's someone else. That was his son. Rocky Burnett had that song. Baby, I'm tired of towing the line. Remember that song, Tired of Towing the Line? It was like an 80s hit.
Yeah.
Rocky Burnett. That was his son. I don't remember. T-Bone, though, I think he might be producer, also guitarist, I believe. But I don't know.
I hope I'm thinking of the right guy, right? He's like an English chap.
I'm not sure, dude. I don't know.
Because, you know, there's T-Bone Walker.
Oh, you might have got him confused with, like, T-Bone Costanza.
Our T-Bone steak.
Well, just call me T-Bone, but there's not a T in your name. Now we're going to call you Coco.
Yeah, T-Bone Burnett.
Coco. Well, if it says anything about him, see if his son is Rocky, because I think that's the guy.
Stephen King, John Cougar Mellencamp, and T-Bone Burnett.
All right, that's cool.
In the Washington Post. Flashity slow phone.
I like the flashity slow phones.
Explore new territories with Ghost Brothers. Stephen King and John Mellencamp had a simple problem when they started the Long Odyssey to create a musical. Quite frankly, we didn't know what we were doing. Or actually, he said what the hell we were doing.
Frankly.
13 years later, wow, they've been working on the whole thing. Ghost Brothers of Darkland County. They picked up T-Bone Burnett to serve as a general contractor, enlisting stars like Sheryl Crow, Elvis Costello, who I think plays the devil, Chris Christopherson, and Roseanne Cash, and broke several rules in the musical theater handbook. And
so this is a musical. It
comes out this week as a CD box set, mini documentary, and ebook with a theatrical tour starting in October. I don't know if the musical started with a real life ghost story. Mellencamp was looking for a cabin on Lake Monroe in Indiana. They handed over the keys and then they kind of said, as they handed over the keys, they said, it might be haunted. And,
Shit.
Yeah, and then there was a quarrel over a girl, led to some kind of thing, and then, you know, they kind of made it into like a pulp magazine kind of a story, you know?
Yep.
But it's, King said, once you get to a certain age, I'm in my 60s now, you got to try to keep expanding your field. And if you don't, you tend to get conservative.
It's a monkey and a weasel.
Yeah. John asked him if, Stephen, have you ever started this? Have you ever done anything like this before? And he said, yes, I have. I wrote a play for my Boy Scout troop when I was 11 years old. And it was a big hit with my relatives.
Wow.
A little early Stephen King there.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. I don't like John Cougar, but...
Yeah, he says he don't believe in the ghost stuff, but stuff would start moving. You'd start smelling cigars. Funny smells would appear, and stuff would turn and turn off. It was kind of creepy, you know?
Yeah. Pop goes the weasel.
Is there a mulberry bush in there?
No, it's the cobbler's bench.
What?
All around the cobbler's bench, the monkey chased the weasel. And then it says, I climbed up and down the coast to find a golden eagle. Climbed the rocks, climbed the coast.
Bap!
Goes the weasel. So another one said, one's got, Billy's got the whooping cough and Mary's got the measles. That's the way the money goes. Pop goes the weasel. What the fuck does that even mean? That's the way the money goes.
I don't
goes.
Know.
That's the way the money goes.
That's up the way the crack pipe hits.
Road, and out the in and out the eagle. That's the way the money goes? Goes the weasel?
It sounds like it's an anti-government song.
It sounds like they're fucking an eagle.
Right? Well, the eagle.
In and
the
out.
The eagle is representative, as we learned earlier, of the government.
Apollo, yeah. Wow. In and out the eagle. You don't ever want to see an eagle get fucked by a weasel. So you smack him in the head every night when I go out. Monkey's on the table. Take a stick and knock it off.
Goes the gerbil. Richard Gere picks it in, puts it in there. Wait a couple of minutes, then pop goes the gerbil.
It says to sprinkle some pepper on the gerbil's nose, and then when he sneezes, goes the weasel.
Well, something about money. That's a
hey, everybody.
Financial song.
It's Friday. It's Pop Goes the Weasel Day.
Hey, I got a list here of 100 things.
Okay, cool. Let's see.
They're not random things. They're 100 best written sitcoms as compiled by the Writers Guild of America.
Okay, you've got 5 seconds for each one.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to, you know, of the 100 to the others, I will do some highlights. Here you got like a Louie Late Night with David Letterman. Old Soap. Did you ever watch that one?
Where are these numbers at? You got to tell me where these stand.
These are just in, okay, these are in the 90s.
Okay.
Louie Late Night with David Letterman, Soap.
I love that. Soap. Yeah, that was one of the first sitcoms to have an openly gay character in the form of Billy Crystal, and there was just so much going on. It was a little risque for the 70s. Sure. Pretty good. I liked it.
Lonesome Dove Family Ties comes in at 95. Will and Grace. Boardwalk Empire. You ever watch that HBO?
No, I've been told that I should by our friend Pat Wambacher
and
a couple
of the
other
Sopranos.
People. Yeah, and Steve Buscemi, so it should be good. But it's I have
it's
trouble sometimes watching shows that are set in olden times.
It is a little period piece, and it's really hard to follow the dialogue sometimes. You know, you really got to... It's one of those shows you got to watch.
I do. I wonder if it's on the Nutfuck.
I'm not sure. Maybe season one.
All right.
The Muppet Show. That old show, The Prisoner. Laugh-In. Sergeant Bilko. Okay, go.
I used to watch Laugh-In as a kid and The Muppet Show. Laughed at both of those. Yeah. I didn't have any concept of that there was a team of writers, you know.
Sure,
as a kid, it was funny. Yeah. I thought it was funny. I'm more familiar with the Steve Martin movie, Sergeant Bilko, than the series because I was before my time, but... I think it was Black
Sheep.
You might
have watched reruns of like Phil Silver shows. Ba-ba
Black
really
Sheep. Used to watch that. I know more Ba-ba Black Sheep than Sergeant Bilko.
I don't know what that is. Is that another Phil Silver's thing?
No, it's an old. I mean, it might be on the list there.
Oh, okay.
Robert Conrad. You know, the guy from the Duracell knocked the battery off my shoulder guy? Remember that commercial from the 70s? He'd have an Energizer battery on his shoulder. He's like, I dare you to knock it off. But he was a tough guy.
Yeah, so nobody would even try.
It's like a chip on your shoulder, but it was a battery for some reason, which is fucking weird. So anyway, go ahead.
Justified, which is a newer show. Graham Yost.
Not familiar with either of those.
Which is, I think, I don't know. Gunsmoke, The Defenders, two old shows.
Dude, Pat Wambacher would listen to hours and hours of Gunsmoke from the 50s radio show or whenever it was.
Yeah.
He even gave me some and made me download them and promised to listen to them. Just to give him a chance.
Yeah, and it spawned a TV show.
I can't. I never. I don't know.
It's tough. I used to listen to like the Shadow News.
Do you think we could do that again? Like everything goes in full circle. Like we could create a show.
Well, this is the age because it's an audio age again, right?
Right, and then it would turn into. So let's do it.
It's all about just.
We'll have this.
And doing it.
We'll have this comedy podcast, and then we'll have one that's an actual series.
Mm-hmm. And Get Smart coming in at 83. A lot of these tie, so they move up pretty quick.
Yeah.
Get Smart. You're probably in your wheelhouse.
Not really, but a couple here and there. Yeah.
All right. Written by Mel Brooks, first pilot, and Buck Henry.
Buck Henry, I know him a lot from Saturday Night Live, and the weird thing was when he was on Saturday Night Live, I never knew who he was or why he had the right to be hosting Saturday Night Live so much.
Mel Brooks?
No, Buck Henry.
Buck Henry?
Yeah.
That was the old drunk guy, right?
No, that's Foster Brooks.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Buck Henry was the guy, he was in Samurai Optometrist skits with John Belushi. And
all right.
He's like a regular looking guy.
Yeah. Star Trek The Next Generation ties up there with Alfred Hitchcock Presents and Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Wow.
Yeah. That's at 79, so those are some pretty heavy-duty shows.
It's funny, or it's not funny, but it's just strange to me that they're comparing writing, but those are totally different genres there. You got comedy and they're all tying.
Sci-fi
for the
and one thriller. Mm-hmm. Coming in to round out the above 75s, you have... The Odd Couple.
I used to laugh at that as a child. I used to watch that with Tony Randall and Jack Klugman.
Mm-hmm. And Barney Miller.
That was funny, too.
Coming up at 76.
Now, I wonder if his Spawn show, and I say Spawn on purpose, Fish. Remember Fish? Abe Vigoda?
I know Abe Vigoda from Conan O'Brien.
Okay, Abe Vigoda was on Barney Miller.
Yeah.
And he got his own show after after Barney Miller went off. They had a show called Fish. And it was Abe Vigoda.
Oh, he was on Maude, too, for some parts.
Barney Miller spinoff. Hmm. Just saying. I don't think it lasted too long, but whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay, what else we got? Barney Miller, I used to laugh at that.
All right, now we're getting down to under 75. We got Murphy Brown.
Yeah.
You know, that was a fun show.
Yeah,
that was kind of when I was at home and not able to, a little young to go anywhere, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe just later.
Some TV.
House.
That's a good show.
Shield. Shield tying at 71 with Roseanne and 24.
Wow, and what number is that at?
71.
Eh. I think it should be higher. I think that was a well-written show.
And even Andy Griffith's show.
That was one of the ones I used to watch after school, along with Gomer Pyle and the Mickey Mouse Club and Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island, because they had a good bunch of like six or eight sitcoms for like 3 hours after school. That was one of them. I used to watch the Andy Griffith Show. I know that theme song like the back of my mouth.
Mm-hmm. And coming in at number 69, what would be the greatest show written to come in at 69 that would just be
like
golden?
I don't know. Sex in the City.
Golden Girls.
Oh, really?
Ah!
Wow.
And amazingly, 66, we'll see a tie with Dexter and The Office, the U.S. version.
Okay.
Wow. Playhouse 90, old show.
Yeah.
South Park and Everybody Loves Raymond coming in at 63.
Huh.
Followed by Roots. And Moonlighting and Freaks and Geeks.
So they're including television miniseries and okay.
Yeah. Rockford Files and Fawlty Towers.
When's Chips going to come in here?
Columbo and Sesame Street.
Used to watch all of those shows.
L.A. Law.
Dun, 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 dun.
Two shows that were excellently written and had excellent soundtracks coming up at 54 and 53. We're
Twin
looking
Peaks.
At The Wonder Years and Northern Exposure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Wonder Years, nice narrative comedy there about coming of age and a great 70s soundtrack for sure.
Wasn't Richard Dreyfuss the narrator?
He was the narrator in Stand By Me.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
All right. So he wasn't the narrator.
I don't believe so. I wasn't going to say no, but I had to think about it while I stated a fact about Mr. Dreyfuss.
Yeah. All right.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah. And here's some at number 50, a tie with The Office, The Good Wife, and Colbert Report.
Wow. Okay.
I was just looking at if Laura Croft.
Okay.
Croft.
It's Croft. She's a superhero, right?
No, I was thinking of a comedian right before the Colbert Report. I was wondering if there's any season one writers I remembered. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Now, I can't believe that's ahead of all those that we've mentioned that I say I enjoy.
Yeah. It's
whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's a Joss Whedon show. A lot of people are, you know, Joss Whedon. Up there is Saint Elsewhere.
Yeah, I was looking elsewhere when that was on. I never watched that much.
30-something.
All right.
Law and Order.
This is just like the NBC lineup.
Downton Abbey, 43.
Downton.
Oh, yeah, Downton Abbey.
Sorry.
That's how much I know.
I only knew that because I kept thinking people were mispronouncing it, and then I looked at the spelling, and I was like, oh, it's not Downton after all. Downton Abbey.
41, your show of shows and the Bob Newhart show.
What's my show of shows?
It was written by Mel Tonkin. It's a vaudeville to Saturday Night Live. Kind of in between there.
What?
Game of Thrones.
Still never seen that.
Sex and the City. Battlestar Galactica. Cara Burnett. NYPD Blue at number 35. We have Twin Peaks.
What?
34, we have Modern Family.
I like that. That's a funny show.
Yep. Star Trek. Deadwood.
The original. Okay.
Yeah, the original Star Trek in at 33.
Okay.
Deadwood. Honeymooners at 31.
Wow. Now, who voted on these?
Now, this is a list compiled by the Writers Guild of America.
Okay.
I don't know how they arrived or if they voted or what. Coming in at number 30, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay, now that's getting better. That should be up there.
29. So, you know, we're in the top 30 now, so you're going to be seeing a lot of heavy hitters. The Cosby Show.
Right.
You got ER with 29, or 28 ER. Hmm. After that, you got Lost, X-Files, all, you know,
big long-running shows. Yeah, and big hits, too.
Long-running. Mm-hmm. Bill Cosby, I still like watching that sometimes when I don't need to change the channel.
Good yellow pudding.
Saturday Night Live coming in at 25.
That should be up there in the top 30, I believe, top 25. Mm-hmm.
Followed by Friends.
Yeah.
Beaten by Frasier.
Ooh.
Never watched Frasier?
Never liked it. I watched it a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Friday Night Lights.
I'm waiting for news radio.
30 Rock. And at number 20, the Larry Sanders Show.
Okay, well, before we get to the top 10... I mean, want you to do the 20. Next 10. I mean, we're at top 20 now, so you keep going. I'm going to take inventory mentally of what you have not said that should be up there in my mind and see if I can call some of the top 10ers.
All right.
So keep on rolling there.
Number 19, Taxi.
It was funny. I like that. I like Mechanic Jim and Latka.
Yeah.
Tony Danza was pretty funny on that.
Mm-hmm. And... a very controversial show at the time, I do believe, 6 Feet Under at number 18.
Yeah.
Number 17, The Daily Show.
Okay.
Of course, many writers on there, including Steve Rosenfeld and Jon Stewart. He's taking the summer off to involve himself in a movie project of passion that he's doing about... a guy who, I saw this the other day, he was interviewed by The Daily Show or something, and then he was arrested. He was pinned up and questioned. They accused him of talking to a U.S. spy who happened to be The Daily Show correspondent, who happens to be Canadian.
Ooh.
So... and so he's the guy wrote a book about it, and Jon Stewart's making a movie about it, and so it's cool. It should be a cool little documentary thing.
Right on.
Number 16, Arrested Development.
Okay.
Number 15.
That should have been top 10, by the way.
Yeah, Hill Street Blues.
Okay. All right. Bald guy, Frank, whatever his name,
Steve Butchkaw?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I know.
The bald guy with the mustache.
Yeah.
Main character.
The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh, yeah, I guess. If that's going to be up there,
Carl then... Carl Reiner's first sitcom.
Is that going to be up there, then Mary Tyler Moore going to be up there, then, too?
Did we already say Mary?
I
skipped her.
Yeah, that's okay.
I don't know. Maybe she hasn't come up yet. Number 13, Breaking Bad, who I hold responsible for the recent Ricin letters.
Okay, that's another one that should have been in the top 10, in my opinion.
Ah!
You're whittling away at my list that should have been top 10.
All right, we're going to go number 12. Everybody loves Raymond, but only I love Lucy.
I love Lucy. Yep. Hello, see, if you don't stop crying, I'm going over to the Mertz's.
Yeah. And number 11.
Okay.
The Simpsons.
God damn you. You're taking all my top 10s.
Yeah, I don't know how many of these top 10s you actually watch.
Yeah, well, that's fucking stupid.
All right. But so you got a good list going on here?
Is that 11? Was that 11?
Yeah.
Okay. I got a few here. I don't think I have 10 because you took them away from me.
All right.
Walking Dead has to be in the top 10, I would think.
Nope.
Okay. No, then this one, this is a guaranteed, if it's not, I'm not even going to finish with the list. Seinfeld.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I will finish with the list now. Married with Children?
Nope.
Futurama?
Nope.
Gilligan's Island?
No.
News Radio?
No.
Chappelle's Show?
No.
All right, then fuck that list. Hit me. I got Seinfeld at least.
Yeah.
That was a given.
Number 10, The West Wing.
Not political. I don't really... I never watched that show, so I don't
tried.
Know. I don't know how good the writing is.
Number 9, definitely a top 10 my list. Maybe even top 3, maybe top 1.
I could have overlooked.
The Wire.
Oh, okay. You told me to watch that, but I never did.
Oh, you should.
Boston?
D.C.
Oh, D.C., okay.
Number 8, you watched... probably every episode of the show. Cheers.
Okay, I can get that, but wasn't a huge fan, but it's all right.
Number 7, you don't really watch the show, Mad Men.
Okay, I've heard a lot of buzz about it. Another one of those period pieces that's a little set back, not as far as some, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm closed-minded.
Okay, we're going to kick it down a little old school for a while. We're going to go with number 6 with the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Okay, so it did make it in the top 10. I knew that if Dick Van Dyke was in the top 20, Mary Tyler Moore had to be under
sure.
him because he was always dicking her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Missionary position, Nary.
Number 5, MASH.
MASH.
It's all right. You know, I still watched MASH when it comes on
it.
TV every once in a while, but, you know, I'm not really a war sitcom guy.
Right.
And number 4, All in the Family.
Okay. That was funny. Mm-hmm. I used to watch that. And a lot of these are a little bit before my time where I didn't have the concept of a, this is a good writing team.
Here's, Norman Lear. Here's one way before you realized what a good writing team was. The Twilight Zone.
Oh, dude, I used to be a huge fan of the Twilight Zone.
Number 3.
I would buy a lot of their DVD, or no, they were VHS tapes mm-hmm. of like 8 episodes on
sure.
a VHS.
Yeah,
and they came in like a hardback box. That had, and Rod Serling, creepy dude, he used to have another series that he narrated called... Maybe that
something
too.
Like that.
No, there was another one, Night Gallery.
Oh, Night Gallery.
And that was the scariest fucking mm-hmm. shows when I was a kid. Dude, I'd have my like Valley of the Dolls and just like
yeah.
the creepiest, which would be the corniest shows today if you watched
sure.
them in retrospect. But
what about Amazing Stories by Spielberg? Did you ever watch that?
I did when it came out, and I actually revisited it a couple years ago on Netflix because I remember kind of liking mm-hmm. it, but it didn't really catch me this time
yeah,
around.
It's kind of rough. It's kind of Disney.
It's a little dated.
Yeah, it's dated Disney. What about that Stephen King one, Nightmares and Dreamscapes?
I have a VHS of 2 of those 4 stories, I think. Is it a 4-story thing?
I got a few of the discs. I'm not sure. I've never watched them.
Oh, the discs. That's right. That's another one that I have. Okay, yeah. And it had, I like that. It had the one about the rock and roll heaven.
I'm not sure.
Okay. These people were driving, and I had read the book, and the story was these people are traveling in Oregon on this back road, but they didn't want to turn around. The man, sure, he wasn't lost. The lady, you know, typical story. She's like, we're lost. Just admit it. We're lost. We're not lost. So they come to... this town, and it's like just all inhabited with all dead rockers. Like Janis Joplin's flipping burgers behind the
nice
thing, and Elvis is there, and they had the magic bus, and it was cool to read it because you can use your imagination. And it was a little bit of a letdown when they try to bring it to, because the people that are playing the people, they don't look exactly like them, or you're wondering mm-hmm. is that what she acted like. But yeah, I like the Nightmares and Dreamscapes.
Head on.
So that what was number 1?
Oh, we haven't hit number 2.
Oh, shit.
Number 2, Seinfeld.
Well, there you go. I knew that would be top 5.
At the end of the run, Jerry Seinfeld commented that one of the more underrated aspects of the show was the number of locations and sets, creating a sense of indoor-outdoor atmosphere.
Yeah, for sure.
Because there wasn't really that much outdoor.
Little bits. There was the one where they're fighting over the parking space.
Or they'd be standing in a movie.
Yeah, or in a restaurant for 20 minutes waiting for a seat.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, I think that deserves to be two or even one, but now I'm going to ask you this before we unveil number one. What is the genre of this? Is it going to be a drama show? This number one show, is it a comedy? Because I want to try to guess it.
Well, it's a drama.
Okay. Well, is it a newer show or an older show?
It is no longer having new episodes.
Okay. But is it from like the 40s, 50s, or like 70s, 80s, or newer than that? Or I'm just looking for an era so I can... Because this is all over the board. This list is all over the board. So...
It is,
just tell me what year it fucking came out.
Oh,
right?
Well, then we're talking 90s.
90s, okay.
To 2000s.
Okay. A drama from the 90s to 2000. Best writing ever. Fudge Tunnel.
I want him, but it would give it away.
This is too new to be it, so I was going to say, just I don't like it, but I have a lot of rave about Lost, but I'm not going to go there.
No, Lost, I skipped over it.
Though. Okay, cool. Yeah, I guess I'm kind of at a loss myself. So, yeah, let's go ahead.
Pat would be proud.
Okay, that's a clue right there, isn't it?
Yeah. What show does Pat want you to watch all the time?
Gunsmoke?
No, newer than that.
I know. I just can't think of anything.
That's
right
always
now,
that, that, like. That. It's either HBO or Showtime.
Boardwalk Empire.
No.
Sopranos.
Before that, yes.
I watched The Sopranos. That's number one, Sopranos?
Sopranos.
Wow. That was a good series.
Oh, I didn't know you watched it. I thought he was always hounding you to watch it.
No, I watched it.
All right.
And who showed up?
Maybe
in some
he's always
movie?
Hounding me to watch it.
I was watching some movie that had Michael from Sopranos, but he was like an old dude with a mustache. And God, what show was that? It was weird. Took me a while to recognize him. But yeah, I loved The Sopranos.
I think I know what show you're talking about. If I know a guy you're talking about, it's Mars. It's that Mars one, right?
Mars what?
The one 30 Years to Mars or whatever.
30 Seconds to Mars?
Is that that show? No, what's that one?
Yeah, it is. It's with the Life on Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. 30 Seconds to what?
Yeah, I never even, I assume that was Michael on the...
but he looks so different. Yeah, it took me a while to notice that was him. But.
It was a great part on that show. Great character.
Mm-hmm.
All those guys are fun on that show. I wish it was longer, but... I don't think it would have been as strong a show if they tried to stretch out that premise that much longer, you know, for another season. Better to wrap it up and make it a good solid one season show. You know, some shows you got to do that. Unfortunately, that one show is not being renewed with John Doerr.
John Doerr.
Yeah, you know the comedian John Doerr, Canadian comedian. John D-O-R-E. John Doerr.
No, I don't. I'm not familiar with
him. He was on Becky Connor's new show.
Oh.
It was called How to Live with Your Parents or something like that.
I'm not familiar with either of those. I mean, I'm not
familiar with... Becky Connor's was the older daughter on Roseanne.
Right, I know who that is.
But I
didn't know that she had a show, and I don't know
John
Doerr.
Yeah, it was
Doerr.
In this first season. John Doerr was like the crazy ex-husband. She moved away, and he's a funny dude, a funny comedian, and he was kind of the always, I'm going to come around, but I'm not threatening enough to really do anything about it. So you just kind of got to put up with me.
Right.
Kind of comic shtick of the show. And I watched a few episodes, and the parents were, I do believe, I want to say it was Brad Garrett.
Well, then say it.
But
don't talk about me like I'm not here.
And then the other one was the crazy lady on Weeds, the neighbor. What was her name?
In the show, it was... Something that started with like a C.
Claudia or...
Yeah, something like that.
You know who I'm talking about, though. Yeah. It was that chick. And there were the parents, and, you know, she had her biting, snarky thing, and her, and I do believe it's Brad Garrett. I think they played very well off each other, of being snarky to each other, and having that kind of thing going on, and John Doerr's funny.
I'll have to check him out for sure. He does stand up as well, or what?
I think he had a show on the internet that he was broadcasting. YouTube or streaming, or did a weekly thing or something like that. And then I think he had a special on Comedy Central, I think at least one.
I'll check him out for sure. I like to hear new comics that are supposedly funny.
Yeah. Well, then you should check out Bill Cosby.
Yellow pudding. Camille. So
I liked when I was watching Arrested Development in the season 3. Oh, I think we talked about this last week. Never
what?
When he was talking on the phone and there was all, you keep forgetting to say away.
Yeah. He blew very, everybody.
Yeah, very
clever.
Yeah, very, what's that guy's name? Bob Newhartish.
Yeah.
Who's still alive, I think.
Wow. What's he doing, though? Just
I guess he's on an interview the other day talking about something. I don't know.
He's just dudes chilling.
Yeah.
So I'd like to revisit an old story. I don't know. It might have been 2 seasons ago or last season. I'm not sure. You might remember the story from a segment called Crazy Floridians about this guy who returned a bunch of enema kits, but then they found out that they had been used. Remember that story?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he has now been sentenced to 30 months in prison for repackaging his used enema kits and returning them to a drugstore. Ronald Robinson, who was 34 at the time of his arrest, pleaded guilty to product tampering and was sentenced this week to serve 30 months in prison, followed by 2 years of supervised release. This is the kicker. CVS, the drugstore, said that they contacted 21 customers believed to have purchased the returned kits, which all tested positive for fecal matter. Ronald Robinson, what the fuck is the matter with you?
Yeah.
You'll be the enema boy in school, or in school, in prison probably. So you better watch out there, Rob.
Bob Newhart, 83.
All right.
His name is George Robert Newhart. He's been active since 1958.
Wow.
When he was only 29. He was 29 when he started.
That's kind of a late starter.
Yeah, yeah. Genres, deadpan and satire. Subjects of American culture and American politics. His influences are Jack Benny. Max Schulman, Shelley Berman. That is one person.
No.
And Robert Benchley.
Max Schulman, Shelley Berman.
Max Schulman, Shelley Berman. And he influenced Ellen DeGeneres.
To be a lesbian.
Louis Black. Norm MacDonald. Johnny Carson. Ray Romano. Conan O'Brien. Jay Leno. Chris Rush.
Wow.
I don't know who Chris Rush is.
Did you know Norm MacDonald has a podcast?
Yeah.
Doesn't everybody, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been married since 1963.
To the same person?
Virginia Quinn.
Newhart.
Yeah. He won a Grammy for Album of the Year in 1961, as well as Best New Artist and Best Comedy Performance.
Nice.
For The Button-Down Mind Strikes Back. Yep.
Go Bob.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll watch some Bob Newhart.
The follow-up, that reached number one on the Billboard Pop's album charts. It remains the 20th best-selling comedy album in history. The follow-up, The Button-Down Mind Strikes Back, was also a massive success. Two held the Billboard number one and two spots simultaneously, a feat unequaled until 1991 with the release of this.
What?
Use Your Illusion 1 and 2.
Whoa, Guns N' Roses took Newhart out?
Yep.
Jesus titties. That's crazy pants.
Well, they didn't take him out, but it was the first one to do that, hold both the number one and two spots.
Well, it took him out.
Yeah.
Of that spot is what I meant. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean it took him out. Yeah. Like, literally, but... speaking of taking people out...
What's in Hans's CD?
You want to go on a date, Hans?
It's probably Ween.
I doubt it. I'm impressed because this week's picks from Hans have all been familial to me. Somewhat familial.
All right.
That means they're kind
music
of family.
From the soundtrack of Family Ties.
Yes, and Family Guy. Family Tie Guy.
Family Tie-Dyed Guy.
So I'm not familiar with this album, but the band, I had a couple of their tapes back in the early 90s. And it's another one of those weird things where my what I was listening to kind of
is dead.
Trippy, dude. So he's listening to Therion, which is an old band from across the water.
Wait a minute. What is it?
Therion.
Oh, okay. It sounds like if you shorten the band name Theory of a Dead Man, if you took it, you got the theory on.
You're getting your theory on.
Yeah.
And get my theory of a dead, like get my nickel back on. Get my theory on.
I know that's probably not very nice to say.
No, Hans. Okay. Therion, he's listened to an album which is a weird name called Lepaka Cliffoth. Lepaka Cliffoth.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully that is not a dish.
Now, here's what's weird. He's listening to Therion, mm-hmm. and I'm listening to Celtic Frost to Megatherion.
Really? That is a coincidence because I'm...
It's on my Facebook. Check it.
I'm taking Theraflu.
On.
Yep.
I'm taking Theraflu on.
I'm off and on Theraflu.
So that's that. And, I forgot to tell you, speaking of what's in stuff... And it used to be what's in Gatch's drunk drawer.
Mm-hmm.
Drunk George.
Drunk drawer.
Jerry Murphy got confused when we were talking about the birds because you said that they were in your drunk drawer.
Yeah.
And he thought that was a literal thing. And so we got to talking about it after he had about 6 Rolling Rocks at Alvinpalooza on Saturday night, last Saturday. And he said, now what is the deal with the birds? So the birds came in the house and then like, I go, yeah, they made a nest underneath the... air conditioner, and then he found him after he took the air conditioner out, and then the window's broken and it won't shut, so he thought the bird was coming back and feeding
it. Well, it's not broken, it's just I got that air conditioner stand.
Okay, so...
Either way,
and then so he's like, so I explained the whole thing, which mm-hmm. I felt redundant because we'd been through the whole thing of chewing up the worms, you didn't feed them, then mm-hmm. there was shit on the wall, you thought the mom was taking care of him. And they get to the end of the story, and he's like, so why are the birds in a drawer? And I said, oh, his junk drawer? And he goes, yeah, where's his junk drawer? I go, it's a figurative thing.
Yeah.
I go, it's a gig. It's a bit. He goes, oh, it's a joke? And I was like, yeah, and the joke's on you, dude, because you thought that he had the dead birds in his fucking junk drawer.
Yeah.
Dead birds. Dead birds. Dead birds in my fucking junk drawer.
Yeah, and when the reality was, the dead birds were in my drawers.
Yeah, and that's where his junk is.
Mm-hmm.
In his drawers. Yep. Get it? Get it, Murphy?
Yeah.
Junk drawers.
Junk drawers.
I got drunk jaws in my junk drawers.
Yeah.
Whoa, have you ever had a pair of drunk jaws in your junk drawers?
Yeah.
You'd be careful. They don't look like... And while we're doing these little segments, let's get to the birthdays. You talk about this guy a lot because you like to watch his show. He's got good hair. It's his birthday today.
Wait a minute, good hair. I like to watch his show. Good hair. A reality show?
Pretty much. Gary Busey.
All right.
No, it's not. That's a hint.
Oh, Donald Trump.
Yeah, because Gary Busey doesn't have that good of hair.
Donald Trump has a personality.
He is.
You know, I mean,
he's a mogul too.
I'm not, you know, he had his business empire, right? And he did that for a long time, and then he had troubles in there, and you know, he has become a whole different type of billionaire since the success of that show.
Yep.
And the yeah, I mean,
he's a billionaire.
That's where he makes his money.
Is he a billionaire?
Billionaire, yeah.
So how old do you think this billionaire is? With his hair, and I don't know if he's had makeup or, I mean, stuff done to his face or whatever, but looks younger than I'm reading right here.
63, I'll go with my original.
Yeah, 67. That was pretty damn close.
All right.
And so Donald Trump, 67. And then 10 years behind him, I guess I'm blue on it for you to guess, I just like to find out that he had a real name, King Diamond. Happy birthday, King Diamond. His name's Kim. His first name's Kim, so I'd change my name to King,
Kim
too.
Kim Diamond.
No, it's not Diamond, though. I can't remember because my memory is Kimmy. It's Kim something. Kim so pretty
E.
normal.
Like Sheila.
Pretty
E.
normal. And then final celebrity birthday today from Niggas with Attitudes, MC Ren.
Nice.
He's a bad motherfucker.
Yep.
Taking out any punk-ass suckers.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe this? With the power of a titan, strong-ass shit, something we'll be fighting. It's been a long time since I heard it. How old is he? He's younger than I thought he would be. MC Ren. Old-school fucking gangster rapper from the late 80s.
Yeah, so even if he was like, let's say he was born in 80... Let's say he was born in 74... What would that put him at, 39?
Yeah, he's actually
49.
He's 44.
44?
So he was born in 69.
Huh.
So he was 20 when they were
all right.
busting out
the
easy. I was
trying to say he was 14 in the band. How did I end up with 44?
Because you skipped
47.
It. I don't know. Because
what is going on?
Your
all
math,
right.
your math isn't that great?
Fuzzy math.
Welcome to Fuzzy Math with the Tech Cast Podcast.
Yeah. You big fan of Sheila E. on the drums?
I wasn't until I saw her on the David Letterman show.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that? They had drum.
Well, is this an old clip or?
This, I think it was this year's or last year's Drum Week.
Yeah.
They had Neil Peart on there and Stuart Copeland. And,
I did watch those clips.
She did a thing, man.
Yeah.
And I was actually really impressed.
She played with Prince for a long time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I knew her as a backup singer and a percussionist, but I'd only seen like music
and
videos.
She had a couple hits of her own, you
but
know,
I'd never
Prince
seen her play
her.
The drums live like that
yeah.
before, and she fucking pretty much kicked yeah. the butt of the drums.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
yeah.
Why do you ask?
I don't know. I was still going off of that.
The E thing?
Yeah.
E! Yep. Do you ever take E?
No.
Will you ever? I'm afraid it'll kill me.
I don't really have any desire to.
I saw a thing on Dateline that said that ecstasy could kill you.
Sure. Well, man-made, manufactured kind of chemical like that could probably kill you if you're not careful with some degree, you know.
Shit.
If you took 600 of them, sure, it could kill you.
Who wants to be careful?
Yeah.
You only live once, man.
Wait a minute.
YOLO! Wait.
YOLO!
I'm
going
to start saying YODO. You
yeah,
only
you
die
do.
Once. You now live every
go,
day.
Like, what if you should just start saying YODA? You only die...
Always.
Yep.
Because you're dying every day.
Yeah.
And you could say, you live every day, but you only die as much. No, you die a little yep. every day. A little every day. Yeah. Anytime someone steps on your fucking heart or fucking puts you down in society, you die a little bit each day. And
yeah.
one day you'll be completely died.
Yeah.
You can't
or
get,
Lola.
You can't
Lola get, would be another fun one.
You can't get no deader than dead.
Yeah. Or Rolo.
Lola?
Yeah, Lola.
Live outlandishly.
Antics.
Live without.
I read about Rolo.
Really? Oh.
Ralph only lives only.
Really only live only.
Yep.
Once, Rolu. Rolu, dude. You really only live once, really.
Yeah.
Roluer. You really only live once only, dude. Rolude.
Rolude.
How do you spell relief? R-O-L-O-O-D. You really only live once only, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, I'd like to thank Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. I'd like
yeah.
to thank Dust Gatch for keeping my website, TerryGile.com, updated and going. Got
yeah.
some shows coming up. You can catch them in the plugs, or you can go to TerryGile.com, and it'll show you where I'll be, which is like... tonight at the Cornucopia, and then next couple weeks got some shows on Sunday, so you should come out. Go to iTunes if you're not already there listening to us. Write us a review, rate us, all that stuff.
If you can't review us there, you can go to Amazon. We have an app. If you type in the Tagcast, you can review us on Amazon.
And if you don't know this and you're Jones and you're on the go, you can check us out on Stitcher. TuneIn Radio. They'll go right to your phone. Free download of the app will go to your phone, and then you can listen to all kinds of podcasts and local radio shows. It's a good thing to have.
Yeah.
Links to our Facebook and Twitters and Tumblrs are on tagcastpodcast.com.
Yeah.
And I think that's all the biz niche that I need to cover, because I don't always do it, but I like to do it sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially, hey, Blind Lemon. Let me get your shoes for you, yeah. Buddy.
Yeah. I had to look that up last night. It is Blind Melon.
Yeah. Don't question me on the you wanna see me excel in something, you compile yourself a cheat sheet.
Hey, I wasn't saying you were wrong. I always remembered that it was one or the other. I thought I was using them to differentiate.
If you want to challenge me and then make me look bad by me saying I kick ass at it, you compile a Cheech and Chong trivia quiz.
All right.
All right.
All right. I will.
And if I fail, then I'm an idiot.
And then I already forgot it. Oh, well, why wasn't there a bigger deal made about Blind Melon coming out, naming their band after a Cheech and Chong thing?
I don't know. Remember this parrot? This is a drowning pool parrot.
Mm-hmm. One of the heavier songs they played on the radio at the time.
What? I want to get that clip. Wait. Okay. That's kind of like the Benny Hill song to me every once in a while. You know, it's just like, hey, yep. Let's hear that parrot singing Bodies Hit the...
Yeah, I forgot to tell you the other day. Or, I mean, I forgot to tell you today. Ace Frehley was on... Celebrity Ghost Stories with Whoa. George Wendt was on the same episode.
And cheers to George.
And cheers, Norm.
Doubles.
Yep.
Saturday Night Live. Yep. Okay, George Wendt. Does he believe in ghosts?
I didn't watch it. Yeah.
Oh. So where is this available? Can I watch it?
I watched it on Comcast. I think, I don't know what channel it's on.
Say it's called Ghost Hunters?
It's the newest episode. It's
Ghost
Celebrity Ghost Stories, I believe.
Oh, I've seen
and
that
I,
once.
I think, so it's this week's episode. It's the new season just started. It was first episode, I do believe. So I've never really... watched too much ghost stories, but no. Maybe I will just because I've watched every fucking thing else.
Yeah, what else is there?
Exactly.
I saw a picture of the Duck Dynasty boys.
And they
kind of
creepy out at night if you watch them, too.
Oh, I know. Duck Dynasty had a picture on Facebook of them on stage rocking out like they all play guitar and stuff. I didn't know that.
They all hold a guitar for promo shots.
Is that what it is? Because someone was like, I don't see any cords, and everybody's like backing them up. That's their fans. Like, have you ever heard of wireless? You go to any concert, and they got wireless.
Well, did it look like they were actually rocking, or did it look like they were posing? Like, as
no, they looked like they were playing. They were like looking at each other and like on a big stage with a drum riser and stuff. But I don't know how real it was. But speaking of not being plugged in and maybe not having amps or something, American Roulette played last Saturday at Album Palooza. Mm-hmm. The main guy brought his whole PA system down. He ran sound for the show. His band was second to last. So I was outside when they started. We walk in. I put a picture of it on my Facebook. They're the only metal band I've ever seen play with no amps. They had no amps.
It's crazy.
They ran everything through the PA. Drums, vocals, bass, and two guitars with distortion.
Hmm.
You could kind of hear the guitars, but not really well. But you could hear it well enough to sound, this is a metal song.
Sure.
You could hear some solos a little bit, and vocals were good and loud. You could hear the bass. So I walked in there, and I'm standing with Jerry Murphy and Jake, and I made the realization that something's missing on the stage. And I was like, hey, where's their amps? And they went. And for those of you who can't see me, a jaw dropper, mouth breathing, like,
yep, either you jaw dropped or you just popped a big old dinosaur egg in your mouth. Remember those, man? Those would last for days.
So, yeah, that was the first band I've ever seen that was a heavy metal band that just ran through the PA. And I figure it's because he had to bring this big old $8,000 PA. It was a Line 6 with two huge subwoofers and then two mains and four monitors. It was a good system.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they didn't have room for all of that plus two full Marshall stacks and a bass rig and all the drums and all that, so... But, yeah, it was interesting. I posted a picture, and someone said, looks like fun, but I think I'm confused. And I was like, yeah, I know, me too. No amps, but they're rocking. So there's that. But yeah, I got to have to check out Celebrity Ghost Stories because I watched that like 2 or 3 years ago when it first came out. And there were some interesting ones. Mm-hmm. I think they had Art Alexakis on there or whatever.
Yeah.
From Everclear. I can't say his name correctly. Yeah. But
they always have like 3 celebrities per episode. So, yeah. I mean, they get a wide range of even A-list stars on there sometimes. But if you, yeah, and I watched the Celebrity Ghost Hunters, and there's so many, I don't know the name of it, but the one with Barry Bostwick, which was really creepy. I think it's a new series, and it's the first episode, or the second, but whether or not I believe her tactics are working and her psychic abilities.
Yeah.
It's an interesting story of the history of the house and the property. And quite a few deaths. Even, you know. Yeah, a lot of houses have been around for a long time, man.
Yeah, there's people that live in my house that think my house has got mm-hmm. ghosts in it, but I don't really.
Yeah. Well, especially, you know, when you got the bigger the property, the bigger the things, you know. When you got, like, rivers going through your thing and like big old rocks and you got kids out there playing and you got big old parties and nobody's watching everything.
And, Indian burial grounds under your house and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Like they unearthed that one the other day.
Where was that?
An old Indian. It was a massacre site.
Wow.
I can't remember exactly. Indiana or something.
Hmm. And, they found Indians in Indiana.
Yeah, and then it was a massacre site that it's somewhere. But
Google it.
Yeah, it was recently unearthed by winds, and stuff was found, and people have been taking stuff out there, and people have been saying, "Sacred ground, man, leave it alone."
Yep, they'll be sorry.
Yep,
just like if you don't go to video only.
Yep.
You'll be sorry.
Sometimes dead is better.
That's right. I used that quote last night. Gotta laugh. Sometimes dead is better. Take him up to the pet cemetery. He's kind of got a little bit of a Sean Connery lisp.
He does.
Well, happy Friday.
He probably did, and he's like, I'm going to do a Sean Connery for this movie.
Yes, but it'll be bad enough that it'll just sound like me with a lisp.
Yeah, and I won't be explained by any sort of backstory of
anything
why
whatsoever.
I need any sort of accent at all.
Exactly. I'm from Maine, goddammit. You just got to say ayah. I don't even know how to pronounce it, but that's how Stephen King spells ayah. Ayah. A'YUH. Ayah.
Is that a dialect thing?
It's a dialect from Maine area, but I got to watch another Stephen King.
What's it mean, though?
Yeah. Yeah. Flames. Peace out, metal. Hey, Taggets. What's happening? I'm going to tell you. Lots of stuff coming up. Comedy, metal, rock. Get out and do something. Don't just sit at home listening to the Tagcast podcast. I know we're good, but give it a break. Tracy Morgan, June 13th, the Newmark Theater in Portland. That's probably close to sold out, but you can check for tickets online. Friday, June 14th, it's the Pantsless Comedy Show with your host, Mike McGowan, a.k.a. Carmichael McGee. He has since lost that name, but I can't let go of it. Carmichael will be hosting the show. I'll be featuring for your headliner, Chris Castles, one of his last shows in the Eugene area before he relocates to Austin. Also in Eugene at the Wow Hall on June 20th, it's Pauly Shore performing Biodome in its entirety. Just kidding, but he'll probably tell a joke or two. June 23rd, it's the Tagcast Podcast Road Trip and also the Down and Dirty Dark Comedy Showcase with your host, Patrick Thomas Perkins from the House of Merkins. That's on the 23rd. It's a Sunday, June 23rd at the Ash Street Saloon. $5 suggested donation or free if you're broke. June 21st, that's Lynyrd Skynyrd and Bad Company. I don't know why I keep telling you that, but go see him if you want. I have no interest in going to that show. Machine Head's going to be playing in Portland, a one-off of sorts. They're doing 3 shows before they headline their whole tour. They chose Portland for one of those three, and they got three local bands opening for them: Separation of Sanity, Proven, and American Roulette at the Hawthorne Theater, opening for Machine Head June 26th. Should be a good show. A goo show. Sunday, June 30th, it's the third installment of Bleepin' Funny with your hostess, Leanne Joshua. That's at Sam Bond's Garage. Max Brockman, myself, Trisha Marshy, some other people will be telling jokes, and there'll be the improv troupe there as well, doing their thing with Melody Dodd and some other people that I can't recall their names, but they're funny, so come check it out. It's a free show. It starts at 8 o'clock at Sam Bond's Garage on Blair Boulevard in Eugene. July 3rd, it's the Rockstar Mayhem Festival with Rob Zombie, Mastodon, Amon Amarth, the Jamaican death metal band, and a couple of shitty bands like Five Finger Death Punch, Fags. White River Amphitheater, Auburn, Washington, that's July 3rd. July 18th, it's Black Flag with Good For You and Piggy at the Hawthorne Theater.
Did you hear that Henry Rollins retired from music?
No, but that's unfortunate.
There you go.
He'll come back, I predict.
He has nothing left. It doesn't excite him anymore.
Whatever. July 20th, 6 Feet Under with Decrepit Birth, Cannabis Corpse, and another local band yet to be determined at the Hawthorne Theater. July 30th, the Gigantor with Megadeth, Black Label Society, Newstead, the new band with Jason Newstead and Death Division. And this is at a strange place in Everett, Washington.
I
didn't think they'd have shows up at Everett, Washington at the Comcast Arena. Didn't even know that place was big enough for that kind of shit. This one's for Zach Rowe. July 31st, Every Time I Die is coming to Hawthorne Theater, brother. You better go see him because I know you miss him every time they come through. Every Time I Die. They're playing with Terror and another local band yet to be determined. Hey, August 9th, the Texas Hippie Coalition is coming to the Hawthorne Theater. And we got some other cool stuff. August 20th, the Summer Slaughter Tour featuring Dillinger Escape Plan, Norma Jean, Cat of the Capcation, Revocation, and a bunch of other bands that end with Shun. Plus, August 20th, also, Wonder Ballroom, Melvins and Honky. So that'll be one to check out. Go do something, you guys. Come home and listen to the TagCast podcast at tagcastpodcast.com. Wow. Rock out!
That's what Jaden says.
Jaden says, rah, rock out! He'll go, yeah, rock out! Like, yeah, rock out! Yeah, rock out! Yeah, get that tick out of my neck.